Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's TicketKing.com.
The Packers are moving on. Aaron Rodgers has done it again. And Mason Crosby, a hero for Green Bay.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the island.
Get those back.
So I think that's the logical explanation.
Let's just, say that didn't happen.
It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form.
It's crazy. And he just kind of flew under the radar.
Get this out there so I sound good on Cheesehead Radio.
Yeah.
No negativity allowed, sir.
So I think that's actually going to be really exciting to watch. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, you were looking for positive things.
I guess that's what I meant. Positive, I guess.
Right, Green Bay. Welcome. It's another week here at Cheesehead Radio. Your Green Bay Packers are no longer a losing team in the NFL. Reached 500, maybe by the skin of their teeth, on a last-second amazing touchdown by Aaron Jones running it in. It was a good victory, although there's plenty of us to talk about that maybe is really good. Some stuff we're still a little nervous about, but for right now, Packer fans, your team is still in the playoff hunt. My name is CD Angeli. Catch my stuff over at PackersTalk.com. I am joined by two amazing co-hosts tonight. First of all, the amazing Jamie Snowden of Cheesehead TV is with us. Welcome, Jamie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back.
Good. I feel like I haven't talked to you in a couple weeks.
I know. Having a baby, they're a little time-consuming. Someone should have told me that.
Yeah, I may have tried, but it's okay. Congratulations, and we're good to have you joining us tonight. And speaking of joining us, our other two co-hosts are not with us tonight. Jersey Al is off doing something, and Michelle Bruton is also off doing something. So we are joined by Cheesehead Radio legend. John Rahor has returned to the show. John, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Does this mic still work? Good to be back on, guys. Thank you very much for the invite tonight.
Absolutely. Good to have you back. Good to hear your voice. I'm sure a lot of the fans are absolutely squealing right now at hearing the possibility of a rant with Rahor tonight. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Radio Network this year are the fine folks at Ticket King. They've been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years and have earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. Be sure to check out their stuff over at theticketking.com. That is theticketking.com. Guess what, guys? Let's kick it.
Packers News.
Well, with a last-minute overtime win, there's a little hope in Packerland tonight. And today, Aaron Rodgers gave us just a little more. Only 7 weeks ago, he had two metal plates screwed into his collarbone. Today, he took the practice field and was sharp, according to members of the media in attendance. Not to be overstated, he launched a 55-yard bomb to Trevor Davis that was pinpoint accurate. Vintage Rodgers.
In the meantime, we can expect that the quarterback holding the position until Rodgers returns, Brett Hundley, will continue to develop as McCarthy starts designing the offense around his skills. Now, against the Bucs, Hundley started using the zone read option more prevalently, rather than sitting back in the pocket. As Tony Romo likes to say, the RPO works for us.
Well, in some more good news, a name you wouldn't normally expect to hear being named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week wore green and gold. No, not Clay Matthews. No, not Mike Daniels. But defensive tackle Dean Lowry ended up taking home the honor due to his great fumble recovery and touchdown return. A sack added to the career days of the former fourth-round draft pick.
Well, the good news couldn't last forever. Kevin King, the exciting young cornerback for the Packers, was just placed on injured reserve, ending his rookie season. King finished the year with 27 tackles and 5 passes defended in 9 games with 5 starts. Dimitri Goodson has been activated from the PUP list. The Packers now have 10 players on the IR list.
Sports Illustrated released their coffee table book, Football's Greatest, this week, and the Packers are a heavy content favorite within. The book, which lists 20 categories, features the Packers in 11 of them. We'll talk about it more later in the show, but number one overall goes to Lambeau Field, Vince Lombardi, and Reggie White.
That's pretty good company. Well, the Packers, who have unfortunately been lurking in the bottom half of the NFL power rankings for a bit too long for most fans, rose from 21st overall last week to 18th. Now, I know there's no telling what a win over the Browns will do in the eyes of the voters, but it sure can't hurt. Here's to seeing the Packers back in the top bracket next week.
Well, if you're watching the twisting Martellus Bennett saga this season, you might find it an ironic end as the Patriots have placed Bennett on season-ending injured reserve last week. Sure, they got Doc McKenzie's approval to do that. But in case you missed it, the Packers organization also filed a grievance with the league to try to collect a portion of his signing bonus. The case will likely be heard by an arbitrator, and whatever position portion is awarded back to the Packers could count in favor on next year's salary cap.
And finally, Mike McCarthy spoke about one of the nicest problems to come out of the 2017 season, having two remarkable rookie running backs to choose from. Said McCarthy, "I think you have two young running backs that are very instinctive runners. They're vertical runners. They don't waste time. You don't see them dancing in the hole. They're doing a great job of accelerating and hitting the crease. Jamal's done an excellent job handling the workload that he's had to handle the past 3 weeks, and you can see the impact that Aaron makes just by putting him in the game on the last play. What you liked about them is their styles are different. They have different paces to them. As I said, a good problem to have."
Yes, it is. And that was your Packers news of the week. Now it's time for your
Packer tweets from Packer Peeps.
Our first tweet comes from the Packer Rancher, our old favorite, who commented about the Packers prohibiting any cameras from taking video of Aaron Rodgers today in practice. "Seeing as how QB is an MVP, GB will keep any PC about his IR on the QT because if it leaks out to the NFL, some VIPs might go MIA or be put on KP."
That's a lot of acne. Our friend Aaron Nagler chimed in on the recent re-signing of the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, to a five-year, $500 million contract. While most of Twitter devolved into a political festival on the topic, Nagler wisely noted, "Now that Steve Smith and Roger Goodell are both back and heading up their respective sides during the next round of labor negotiations, football fans should have plenty of free time during the fall of 2021.
God. Scripts by James chimes in on the imagined conversation between game hero Aaron Jones and extremely grateful injured quarterback Aaron Rodgers following his game-winning touchdown carry. As the two embrace at midfield, Aaron Jones, "Man, you come back? Rodgers, just run for 200 against Cleveland, and I'll take care of the rest." Jones said, "But what about?" Rodgers said, "Shh."
He likes to say, "Shh." Finally, an exchange between Zach Cruz and James Cosmo. Said Cruz, "The NASCAR package was a total dud for the Packers Sunday. We put 11 total times, 0 sacks. We did 10 times on third down. Bucks beat it for 7 first downs or touchdowns." To which Cosmo replied, "But in his presser today, McCarthy said it worked tremendously well." And that was your Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought I was well in that situation.
It's like you're out of practice or something.
I've done a lot of internal Tweets of the Week. I just don't verbalize it much anymore.
Okay. That's that might be too much information, John.
Oh, boy.
It's good to have you back. I feel like I haven't talked to either of you guys in a while because, Jamie, you've been off being all maternal, and John has taken a leave of absence from the show, but he's definitely been itching to come back, so we're definitely honored to have you back with us tonight. So, I don't know. Let's kick it and start talking some Packers.
The Playbook.
All right. Well, let's get into this nitty-gritty. Packers go up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is not a pretty game, guys. For pretty much 4 full quarters, this is not a pretty game whatsoever. I don't know. You heard about people turning the game off. You saw Brett Hundley having, basically passing yardage that looks like a speed limit.
What?
And that was,
Brett Hundley?
Yeah, what?
He threw for, what, 83 yards? I mean, that's high-powered, Brett Hundley.
So, yes. So Brett Hundley comes out at halftime, or excuse me, into the overtime period, and all of us are just like, forget it. We're done. The guy's not going to get down the field. And all of a sudden he hitches up a couple passes, hands the ball off like he's supposed to, and then in comes Aaron Jones, the last play. Oh, my gosh. They digitized that. I don't know if you saw that. Like State Farm and Bleacher Report made a little digital animation of just that play, and it's beautiful. Great play. What was your feeling, Jamie, at the end of this game this week?
Well, before I can get to the end of this game, I have to say that when it went to overtime, all I could think of is, this is so 2013. Like, we had this stupid tie game with Aaron Rodgers' broken collarbone the last time. I was like, if we have to do that again, I'm done. Like, that would just be too weird for me. And I definitely didn't feel positive going into overtime. But a couple of weeks ago, I said on the show, you know, the tagline for Hundley games are, yeah, but we have that one drive. So at least we have that one drive in overtime. The thing is, that drive and that watching the rushing and the kind of the smart playmaking, I felt so good afterwards that it almost erased the lull that had been the rest of the game. The rest of the game was just boring, and I had company over, and I could go stretches without looking at the TV. It was just, ugh. But something about that last drive just ignited me. But again, that's the inconsistency with having Brett Hundley as our quarterback.
I think that there was a feeling of, it was a great feeling at the end of the game, but you're right. There was such an empty feeling throughout the whole game that it was like, well, yay. You know, so like, why didn't we do this before? You know, I mean, it's nice to get a win and it's nice to get it in spectacular fashion, but you feel better if you felt like there were two heavyweight teams pummeling each other to get to that point instead of two teams essentially going, oh, yeah, did you want the ball? No, you can take the ball. No, we don't want the ball. We don't want to score. It was really two inept teams that really couldn't do much all game. It reminded you a lot of watching the game from the 80s to a degree, you know, when the Packers would go up against the Buccaneers in those days, and it was just two bad teams praying to get like one of their only wins of the season. And yeah, we got one at the end, but all of us are still looking forward to, can we get through this game and the next game, and then can Aaron Rodgers come back?
We have real football again.
You know what, CD? Can I tell you something?
What's that?
You are a true fan. You are a hashtag true fan, buddy. You don't worry about the future when you have to worry about the present. And I'd be worried, what happens if they lose to the Browns? Will Wisconsin cease to exist? Because I think it might. And there is a distinct possibility that they could. And I am not going to say that they're going to lose. No, I'm not going to go old school John yet. But they could lose to the Browns, and oh my goodness, Wisconsin radio will explode if that happens. But at least Aaron Rodgers might be coming back next week. Worry about the present, not when he's coming back.
Well, but you know, you're right. There's a lot of fans that we're just trying to survive these couple of games. We're just trying to get through this. And the fact is, we've fought our way to stay at 500 after, what was our record when he went out? Where we were at 4-1? Ooh, you know, this is a rough stretch. But we were 4-1 with Aaron Rodgers. Conceivably, we could go 4-1 for the rest of the season if there weren't just three games when he comes back. But, you know, the idea is that, you know, the Packers get back to 10-6, but we've had to deal with Brett Hundley and his growing pains.
Wait. No, it's too early.
Well, I'm hesitant to call them growing pains. And I don't want to steal thunder from John whenever we may get the inevitable, I'm assuming, rant from Ray Hoare. But I just, at this point, is it really growing pains? And doesn't growing pains imply that there's been growth? Has there been any growth? Is he tangibly a better quarterback this week than he was however many weeks ago when he started this?
Is he better? I don't think it matters. And, you know, this is the part that'll get John riled up a little bit, and I'm okay with that. There's a lot of people who like to suggest, oh, which Brett Hundley is going to show up this week? Is it going to be the one who throws all the interceptions, or is it going to be the one who plays overly cautious? And guess what? Every week, guys, it's the same Brett Hundley. I don't know if he's improved. It's just really how we choose to play him. When we play him cautiously, when McCarthy puts the handcuffs on him, he's going to not do much. When they say, okay, go back and try to pretend to be Aaron Rodgers in the pocket and throw the ball 40 yards downfield, he's going to get intercepted. You know, one out of every three, one of those passes. So you shouldn't do that. They kept him in the pocket. They played him safe. And they started running him with those run-pass options, those zone read coverages, which I've been saying since day one, this is what you need to do with him. Because it's what... So, yeah, he didn't pass for a lot of yards, but he almost had more rushing yards than he had passing yards. And some of those runs with his legs were huge, first downs, especially in overtime. So... or at the end of the game. So it was big. I think Hundley is just what you, he's going to be what you make of him. He's going to be how you play him. You got to put him in a position to win. You got to scale back the game plan. You got to put him in a position to win with his legs. Don't let him pass long. And the biggest thing is you can put him in a position to not hurt you and where he could possibly help you. He's not going to save your team. He's not going to make everyone around him better. But can we win a game with him against a mediocre opponent? We just did. So there's that.
So, CD, can I ask you a question?
Please do.
So based on Hundley's performances here, does that mean we're not going to get three first-round picks for him when we trade him? I want him to clarify.
If you would have asked me after that game against the Ravens, we would have gotten a draft pick at all for him. Period.
Okay. I always thought it was silly to believe that anybody would give up a first-round pick or a second-round pick for a fifth-round pick who had played a total of zero passes. No, he might have thrown one pass last year, and we're seeing the reasons why, because the fact of the matter is he's a fifth-round draft pick who's going through his struggle, fifth-round pick, right? I want to make sure. I don't want to give him too much credit if he's, like, lower or too little if he's higher.
He's fifth.
You know, he's going through his struggles, and it's very apparent. And yes, we just need to get through this week, and I don't have any wood around me. Hopefully Aaron comes back next week, but good God almighty, Brett, just get us through this game and win, please. I'm begging you. I'm begging you for all of Packer Nation. Just play within your limits. And hey, Mike, call the right place this week. I'm begging you. I'm done for now.
Now, John, I'm on oddshark.com. Which I never go to, so I don't even understand how these things work, because I don't know. Jamie, do you ever bet on games? Neither do I. John, do you ever bet on games?
No, I do not believe in gambling for football.
Okay, good. Well, neither do I. But you did say what would happen if Cleveland beats them. Do you realize right now, on Odd Shark, the predicted score is that Cleveland is going to cover the spread, and they're predicting Cleveland's going to win, 21.9 to 20.2. 22 to 20, they're predicting a Cleveland win.
What
at home, maybe that's your 2 points, maybe that's your 2-3 points. But based on the bets, there's people who are betting a lot of money on the Cleveland Browns to win this week.
What site is that called?
Oddshark.com.
Close that window. Just close it. You don't need to have that negativity in your life.
I don't. You're right.
What is the official line of the game?
Yeah, everywhere else I'm looking, though, I think they end up having it as a Green Bay, I think, a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, I've seen between 3 and 5.
Right. So, I mean, it's big. This is the game that if Aaron Rodgers were here, it's a no-brainer. You know, the Packers are going to win. Now, let's be honest. Cleveland Browns have really struggled. But wait, is that an easy win?
No. There is no such thing with Mike McCarthy as a sure win. Has there been in the decade plus he's been coaching? No. So let's just stop that fabrication. It would be a should win big game. There's no such thing. Because how many times have they pooped the bed in games they should have won?
By the way, Jamie, I don't know if I told you. Every time we have a Johnism, we have to drink. So poop the bed is number one. Oh, crap.
Okay.
I'll have to drink yours then. Great.
Well. I can drink. It just has to be within limits. So, John, watch yourself.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, go back to my original point. Yes, you're right. There's no sure win. But you would think there's a really good chance with Aaron Rodgers. This actually becomes kind of a scary game. Now, Jamie, you're close to Cleveland. Are you going to go to the game this weekend?
No. Although I did ask my husband if he wanted to, you know, make that drive up. It's just mid too cold for me. I have lost my Wisconsin blood. But I will say it makes me the last time the Packers were in Cleveland, I actually won tickets from Ryan Grant on Twitter. He has a name my passport running back coaches question, and I got it. And so I drove by myself up to Cleveland for the game and then drove home. That's what I did that day. And that's like a 3-4 hour drive. So I was thinking about it this week, like, you know, tickets would be definitely affordable. Got the time. But no, I'm not going to go stand next to water when it's cold.
Right.
That stadium gets really cold. I'm staying next.
I am on StubHub right
now.
Yeah.
How much
StubHub
are tickets?
Right now. StubHub right now. Cheapest ticket right now has actually increased in price. They're now peaking at $14 a seat.
Good Lord.
You know, and you know how sometimes you see that there's 14, but then they quickly jump after that to, you know, like 50, 60, 70. No, you can go down, and I'm still scrolling, and I've been scrolling for like last night. They're still under $25.
So theoretically, you could probably get a ticket cheaper
than a beer. Back in the 80s. That's crazy.
I'd just like to point out to you that it's only a 6-hour drive from Chicago.
Are you going? I think you should go.
I have actually toyed with the idea of driving out there, in all seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
you could bring a big, you know, I love Brett Hundley sign and a number 7 jersey. You could wear that in the stands.
I carry that around.
It has to be Hundley and
Capers. Dom is my boy. Let's not misconstrue. He's doing a bang-up job right now. He got Dean Lowry, Defensive Player of the Week. Dean Lowry, Defensive Player of the Week. Who would have thought that? Look what a fat guy touchdown does.
I love fat guys touchdown. But no, Don, you should drive to Cleveland. It is fun. It's a fun atmosphere to go to. If it wasn't December 10th, if it was a little bit warmer and I didn't have a nursing 7-week-old, I would be there.
I just want to point out that going to Cleveland for a Packer-Brown game is the only reason you'll ever hear the phrase, you should come to Cleveland.
Very,
very nice. So here's something I got to talk about. And, I know it's an old argument, but there are young people out there who've never heard it. And I think it's worth – and I'm really interested in your opinions on it. On several occasions during the game, I was not at the game. I know a couple of people that were. There was a lot of booing going on, a lot of booing in the stands at Lambeau. Lambeau fans booing their team. And this is where we usually have our usual Kurt Cozad type people saying that I'm a true fan and I would never ever do that and all of you are bad fans. You have the people who say, you know what, I paid the ticket and I'm happy with my product, so I have the right to boo, freedom of speech. What's your opinion on the booing? Because I think it hit a nerve with some people this week in particular, maybe especially because we won at the end.
I'm going to let Jamie go first.
I just like that booing is considered freedom of speech. I want to meet the people who are hanging their hat on that argument. I don't know. Honestly, I don't care anymore about the booing. I personally would not boo the team. And I mean, you look at where we are. The team is playing the way that this team should play. I mean, Brett Hundley is his quarterback, and we have 10 people on IR. This is who we are. And yeah, sometimes the play calling is crap, and sometimes Hundley throws to open air. But that's who we are right now, and I'm not surprised by it. So if this was Aaron Rodgers and we had an extremely healthy team, I can maybe see doing more and being like, this is ridiculous. You guys shouldn't be putting us through this. But really, everyone who bought that ticket knew what they were buying into. They were buying in, like you said, CDs. Teams from the 80s. Tampa and Green Bay try to not, you know, who could possibly win this game? Personally, I wouldn't boo. That's just, I don't think I've ever booed, and I sat through the USC season before Pete Carroll came. But that's just me. If you want to boo, I'm over caring if somebody's booed or not now. It's just, it doesn't bother me. But, you know, I do love to see people argue about who's the bigger fan. That's always fun.
Take it away, John.
Well, first of all, if you pay for a ticket, you're entitled to do whatever you want, you know, within the limits of the rules of the stadium. So there's my take on that. I have said for, about 42 years now, everybody is a fan in their own way. Be a fan however you want. If you choose to boo, that's your right. If you choose to cheer, that's your right. If you want to put out the true fan hashtag, that's your right. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's why we're all individuals. I'm going to philosophize here a little bit and be like, not everybody's a fan the same way. So be the fan however makes you comfortable. What you're booing right now is not, I don't think, so much the fact the performance on the field. I think you're booing the fact because the expectations were so high coming into this season and so many things have gone wrong. Nobody thought Aaron Rodgers was going to get hurt and lose basically half the season. Nobody expected Martellus Bennett to turn into a complete piece of, this is still a PG-13, so I don't want to say it, but you can insert your own profanity right there, however you want. You know, nobody expected Jordy Nelson to get 5 catches for, 17 yards last week? I mean, nobody expected. So you're booing because the season's just not going the way it is. And you know what? That's your right. So do whatever you want. Who cares? Some people go to a game once in a lifetime, and if they go to a game and they're playing like complete crap, boo all you want. Because at the end of the day, I guarantee you're going to watch the game again next week. Do whatever you want. And don't let people tell anybody, you can't do that because you're not a true fan. You know what? Middle finger. Honestly. Do whatever you want. It's ridiculous. I mean, we've had this conversation. I mean, I was on the show for, 5 years, and I've had this conversation with you guys multiple times. Who makes you a better fan than me? Or Jamie a better fan than you? Or a better fan than me? None of us. It's opinion of what you want to do with your time, your money, whatever. So do it however you want. As long as you're not grabbing the person next to you, like punching them in the face, you know, because you're irritated with the way they're playing, although that might be tempting because Brett Hundley is your quarterback. It doesn't matter. So do whatever you want. If it's a release, get the release out so that way when they come back and they win in overtime, you can cheer and go, oop, I was an idiot.
I just want to clarify that Jamie is a better fan than both of us, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah, just to clarify.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But, John, I like that you said that everyone's a fan in their own way, because it's so strange the way we try to qualify that and say, oh, well, I did this. So I went to this game, and I just met a new Packers fan in Cincinnati. She's from Green Bay. She lives here now. And, you know, in our first phone call, she did the same thing. And it wasn't even trying to, like, one-up each other. It was just trying to explain, oh, no, I'm a really big fan. Oh, I was at this game and this game. How many games do you go to a year? And I'm like, well, I don't go to games a year. I don't live there anymore. I can't afford to travel. It's just kind of the way that we all do things now, that you can't just – we both can't be equally good fans and do it completely differently. You know, one person can go to every game and never miss one, and that makes them a great fan. The other one can have memorized every single stat and you know, every detail about all the players, and that makes them a great fan. And another one can cry after every play. You know, we're all fans different ways, and it's amazing to me how we really try to say, like, we both can't be great fans. I am a great fan this way, and I have to tell you about it and then ask you if you do it the same.
Well,
preach. Seriously.
I'll tell you, I choose not to boo because that's my right. I don't begrudge anyone for booing because that's their right. You know what I mean? I think I kind of said it on Twitter this week. I mean, this is a team that is in the tiniest market possible for a professional team. We're very lucky to have them. We're a little bit spoiled, and
I think, you know, you're going to see there's a lot of other fans that are kind of taking note of our spoiledness lately and maybe reveling in a little bit. And, of course, we'll come back and get them at some point. But I take pride in having an intelligent fan base. And I think that's one thing you typically see when I think the regular fan base is in the stands is, you know, I think like you said, Jamie, we understand what we're getting into. I went to Brett Hundley's first game, and gosh, what's his name? Chris from Back to the Future was all excited to be walking around with his Brett Hundley jersey. I mean, he had a Brett Hundley jersey made, and he was walking around with it, and he was so excited. He was number one on the Brett Hundley bandwagon. And, you know, I was kind of like, okay, I'm just going to wear my HaHa Clinton Dix jersey. It's okay. I'm fine with that. And, you know, we got to the end of the game, and I think the game next week, and I don't think he was wearing that Brett Hundley jersey anymore. But that's because you know what you're getting into. This is what you're here for. You're looking for hope, and you're looking for little things that are positive because you know the team's down. So when you get to the end of the game and you have a run like Aaron Jones made and a wonderful final drive, not even just Aaron Jones running with the touchdown, that was a great drive from start to finish. You're just in there looking at this, why didn't we do this the whole game? It's something that's fun to build on. It's something that's fun to say, wow, that was great. It's like watching the games back maybe in the early 80s. And yeah, you know, the teams went 8-8. And you thought that was great because, holy cow, you had James Lofton and John Jefferson. And it was exciting to watch them, you know, have this exciting offense. And yeah, then our defense gave up 40 points in the game. But it's okay. I think when your expectations are in line, it still makes the game enjoyable, whether as a fan at home or in the stands. And I think you have to adjust to that.
Can I just say one last thing about that? Because you brought up something that I think is interesting.
Sure.
Or not interesting, it's a reminder. I think that, and I am guilty of this over the years, which I know may shock some of the people listening, especially some of my co-hosts. I think that far too often we forget that this is a game that we're watching. That for us, it's supposed to be an escape from our, you know, day-to-day reality. And for 3 hours plus, we're supposed to kind of enjoy watching the game on TV or in the stands. And people have fun in their own way, you know, and I think that there's so much emotional investment poured into this team by everybody who is a fan, whether you're a true fan or just a fan, because, you know, God forbid you're not a true fan. I think that we lose some of the ability to just enjoy the fact that we have this team. Like you said, this is the smallest market team in professional sports, period. How fortunate are we that 97 years, I'd have to do the math, 97 years later, this team is still around. It could have folded multiple times. But somehow we still get all these Sunday night games, Monday night games, primetime, like all these games, and we're able to go to the best stadium in the NFL and watch this team, and sometimes they're really good and sometimes they kind of suck. But you know what? We have that ability. So enjoy it. Because you know what? The time may come when we can't anymore, for whatever the reason is. So enjoy it. However you want to enjoy it.
Very good. All right. So get to the big topic here too. I know John told me I'm not allowed to talk about the future, but Aaron Rodgers in practice, apparently chucking the ball 60 yards downfield today. Looking good. Bolted up collarbone looks okay. Packers win against Cleveland. He's eligible to start. I know it's a no-brainer, but do you play him?
If he passes that scan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, doctor gives him a clear, you know, generally clear, you know, way to go.
You know, Doc McKenzie makes him play.
Cleveland, they lose to Cleveland. 6-7. Best you can do is 9-7. If you win out, and that's including games against a pretty good Carolina team, obviously the Minnesota Vikings, Lions might be a little bit of an easy win with, you know, with Aaron Rodgers. But you know what? The Lions aren't an easy win anymore. I mean, it's... there's always a possibility you can lose to
them. Last week.
True. So if you lose against the Browns, do you feel more likely like you want to sit Aaron out with the other 10 guys in IR and save him for next season if the playoffs really aren't a reality?
No.
If he passes the scan, he plays. Yeah.
Passes the scan, he plays. It's Jamie. John.
You play him. But you play him cautiously now. You play him cautiously, and I'll explain, okay? Let's say they lose to the Browns, okay? They're 6-7. They can go 9-7. 9-7 teams have gone to the playoffs before. I seem to remember the Packers team in the 90s went twice 9-7, but I'm just saying. I would say that if they go against Carolina and he is getting absolutely murdered out there, and if they're losing at a certain point, I would honestly consider benching him. I'm putting quotes up because it's not benching him. Basically saying, like, we don't want you to potentially lose, like, half of next season, too. But I think if they were losing, let's say, 24-0 at halftime against the Panthers, and they're 6-7, most likely going to go to 6-8, I think at that point you can say season's done. So I know I don't probably sound very positive with that attitude, but I think as long as you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers, you put him out there with the hopes that they can sneak into the playoffs. But any possibility of them, if it starts to dwindle, I think at that point you don't risk the future for what could potentially be a one and done in the playoffs if they even get in.
All right.
If he passes that scan and he's healthy to the point that if he got hit again, he's not like one, you know, someone sneezed close by and his collarbone hurts again. I mean, that, as much as I'm joking about it, that's not the way the Packers are. He's only going to go out there if he can be slammed to the turf and it's not going to, you know, just pop off or something. So we know he's only going to go out there 100% ready to. And regardless of the playoffs, I mean, you lose this game like jumping. 9-7, that's still technically a chance. If he's healthy, you have to try for it. But there's three games left, you have to try. If it was one game left and we were out, no. But if he's healthy, there's no reason to sit him at this point. I can't see the Packers organization saying with three games left, we 100% are giving up. And Aaron Rodgers passed his scan. Granted, they wouldn't say he passed the scan, but passed his scan and we're just going to sit him. I can't see the coaches being okay with that. I can't see the players being okay with that. I just can't see it. You play him.
I think we're all in consensus on that one.
You agree?
Quick gear switch. I do. Quick gear switch before we get to our hot pockets and our rants. That ESPN book that just came out, Football's Greatest, I think there's some interesting placements of Packers players. I wanted to get your thoughts on this, just kind of running through a little bit of the list. I don't have the whole list because I haven't bought the book yet, but you know, obviously you can pick that up on Amazon for Christmas. Feel free. Quarterbacks, as they made the top list, Brett Favre sits at number 8 overall, with number 1 being Tom Brady, number 2, Joe Montana, 3, Peyton Manning, 4, Johnny U, 5, Otto Graham, then John Elway, Dan Marino ahead of Brett Favre.
How is he ahead of Favre?
I have no idea. He was prolific, no doubt.
Well,
I have a tough time with John Elway ahead of him, to be honest with you.
How about this? How is Bart Starr behind Sammy Baugh? What? What? Who wrote this book?
Apparently 7 sports writers wrote it for ESPN. They didn't name the sports writers. Well, I'd have to buy the book.
Well, that's why ESPN's laying off people. Reasons like this.
I remember
Joe Montana is my number 1.
Yeah.
But when I saw Tom Brady, you know, I have to stupidly admit it, when Tom Brady won that stupid Super Bowl last year at age whatever he is, 48, I mean, yeah, he's probably going to move into number 1 as much as I hate him. Yeah. So, I mean, but I always had Joe Montana as my number 1. Go ahead, Jamie.
I remember back when Brett Favre retired the first time and, you know, kind of in our, I can't believe he's gone, haze. You know, ESPN was Favre everywhere. And you could sit there and you could rank. There was like an interactive, you could click on the photo and drag it and rank the quarterbacks. And then, of course, in my very, you know, Favre just left fresh wound, I would keep ranking them high and high and high. And I, you know, hit submit and I'd look at theirs. And I feel like the second half of 10 is where most people, even right after he had retired, put him. So while I might take issue with the other people they have there, because I feel like there's some names, other names that are missing, I'm not exactly, I'm actually okay with him being at 8. Bart Starr behind Sammy Baugh is difficult, but I think that that's just because since his voting, Are you voting and you're looking for people who throw like Tom Brady, or are you looking for someone who can manage a team and basically call all the plays and run a team for a million and 12 years like Bart started?
Right. So let's move on. Wide receivers. Ranked best of all time, number one, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, he fumbled.
With that. Number two, Don Hudson.
It should be 1 and 1A.
Randy Moss. Randy
Absolutely
Moss,
not.
Number three. Who would put Randy Moss number three? What did he win? He won absolutely nothing.
Isn't Randy Moss an announcer at ESPN?
Yeah, he does. I don't know if he's at ESPN or if he's at is he at ESPN?
I don't know. He's on the TV sometimes. I sound
yes.
like my grandma.
Sometimes I walk
but,
by the
you know,
TV and I hear him.
He's on one of those shows.
All right. Offensive lineman. Number one, Anthony Munoz. Number two, John Hanna. Number three, offensive lineman of all time, Forrest Gregg.
No, Jerry Kramer.
I'm
just throwing these names.
You might be there somewhere.
I think I think we all look at any offensive lineman list and go, Jerry Kramer's not there. Because, you know, we're all very... But I'm a huge Anthony Munoz homer, so that makes me happy.
Good.
He makes me smile.
You know, if ESPN would have put Jerry Kramer number one on this list, we could have just sent it right to the Hall of Fame veterans. Yeah, right there. Look at this, man. He's number one. Stupid list. Defensive lineman, number one, Reginald White, followed by Dean Joe Green.
Number four, Dean Lowry.
Could be someday. You never know. Linebackers. Lawrence Taylor's number one. Dick Butkus, number two. Ray Nitschke, number 13.
Who else is in the top 10?
I don't know. I don't have the whole list. You have to go buy the book. And if you
want to ask your question,
I'm not buying the book now.
Anthony Munoz. Come on.
Can I ask
not
a question? No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Mike, I want to know where Frank Zombo is in the rankings. Did he make the top 15?
He actually just missed the cut of the top 20.
Darn it.
Yeah.
I mean, I
defense
can't...
is back. Oh, go ahead, Jamie. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can't argue Lawrence Taylor number one and Butkus number two. I'm interested to see who else is ahead of Ray Nitschke. That's just that, like, I don't want to give these people my money, but now I'm going to find a way to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Might be Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
And Brady Papinga.
Sure.
A.J. Hawk.
Vic Sirotto.
A.J. Hawk. Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Defensive backs. Ronnie Lott, number one. Deion Sanders, number two. Charles Woodson, number eight. Don't think I can argue.
I think we'd have to see the rest of the list, but I can take that.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. Coaches. Number one, Mr. Vince Lombardi. Number two, Bill Belichick. That almost makes me angry, Bill Belichick being there. But I'm very happy with Vince Lombardi, number one. A lot of respect there.
I'm very happy they didn't flip it, you know, with present history.
Yes.
So many people try to flip it these days, and I'm glad they didn't. I think the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady argument will always be like the chicken or the egg. Like, which one makes the other one great? Don't think about Tom Brady and just think about everything that New England has done since Bill Belichick has been there. I would say he's a good coach. I would say he's a great coach. He's built teams, keeps players engaged. He stays on top. They're always a threat. But are they always a threat because of Tom Brady? You know, if you took Tom Brady away, I know they had the Matt Castle year, but if you gave him Brett Hundley, are they looking like we look? And so I don't think we'll ever know. And they're both going to get ranked really high. And we're just going to sit there and go, Which one made the other one great?
Well, I have a hard time with it because, I mean, there's George Halas with the Bears, and Tom Landry with the Cowboys, and Chuck Knoll with the Steelers, Bill Walsh, 49ers, Jimmy Johnson. There's so many great coaches that had dynasty teams. And I don't know. I just think they deserve a little more respect than Bill Belichick. I'm sure maybe they're all 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on the list, but I'm not sure Bill deserves to be there. Vince Lombardi definitely deserves to be number one.
I would really hope that Bill Walsh would be high on the list just because not only the coaching tree that came from there, but just in the way that he changed the West Coast offense, the way that football that we watch it now would not be here if he hadn't been a coach. And then his lasting footprint with all of the other coaches. It's just, I really hope he's number three.
Well, one of us will buy the book and we'll let you know. Top NFL games, the number biggest games of all time, greatest games of all time. Number one is the 1958 Colts-Giants NFL title game. Number two, the 1967 NFL title game, better known as the Ice Bowl.
I don't think any of us it's can funny say how anything they do. About that since I don't think
we're
any
alive.
Of us knows too much. Yeah, that, you know, that 58.
This is why Al needs to talk about it.
Al, what was that 1958 game like? Well,
I'm sure it was a doozy, and I'm sure, you know, whoever voted for it had their reasons, so sure. That's why it's talked about so much more than the Ice Bowl.
The single season best teams. The 1962 Packers, which I've seen featured on Madden, are the number four greatest single season team of all time. The 1966 Packers are number nine of all time. Number one, the 1985 Chicago Bears, best single season team of all time.
I mean, it's kind of hard to argue. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I'm not here to start no trouble.
As much, no, I am. I'm going to hang up right now. The fact that you even referenced that. So, bye. You are clearly not a true fan for bringing that up. So.
Well, nobody else has a song. He has a point.
Yeah, we didn't have a song. Well, we had green and yellow, but that wasn't good enough. That's certainly not the Super Bowl shuffle.
Board.
Full disclosure, guys, you do realize I used to work at Chicago Bears training camp.
What's that hashtag? What's it called again? Oh, that. I remember.
Hashtag
fan?
Loser. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be
1988.
Pretty soon.
They used to have their training camp at my college, so it was a good summer job. Good summer gig. Anyway, best stadiums. Number three, AT&T Stadium, the Cowboys Stadium.
What?
Arrowhead Stadium, number two for the Chiefs. Number one, believe it or not, Lambeau Field.
Is there really a debate?
I don't think so.
I just think it's ridiculous that they gave that high-tech weird monstrosity, just like that standing room bar thing. The AT&T, I think that's just weird they gave that, third, but whatever.
I was just in that stadium this summer for the first time. It's a monstrosity. Okay, you guys ready? Best franchise of all time. Best franchise.
Pass it.
No. Number two,
what?
Green Bay Packers. Number two. Yeah. Number three, you'll be happy to know, the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
So the number one franchise of all time, the only team ahead of the Packers. Can you guess?
Cleveland Browns.
No. Not too far away, though. Pittsburgh Steelers. Number one franchise of all time.
I literally have my hand up in the air. Okay? No joke. If this was a Snapchat live show, my hand is up in the air. What determines the best franchise? Like, honestly, you want to talk about ridiculous? Come on. I'm not even saying that as a Packer fan. I would say that about the other teams in the NFL. What is the structure for determining the best franchise?
I'm guessing it has something to do with towels.
Towels.
It's a terrible towel. That's the only thing that I see puts the Steelers ahead. Towels. towels was a category. Must have been.
I have a, in the room I'm sitting in, I have a drawer literally filled with towels, Packers towels that I've been giving out at games. Our towels are pretty good. How come we're not at the top of the towel list, you know?
But nobody else knows about you, Packers towels. Everyone knows about the Steelers towels. They're
I need
special.
A marker.
You do.
I need a marker.
To be fair.
One says...
You market the towels, and then when the book comes out, when version 2.0 comes out, the Packers will be number one, thanks to John's drawer of towels.
I have two versions. One will say, in Dom we trust. The other one will say, in Brett, parentheses, H, we trust. There's my towels. There you go. Cheesehead Radio, marketing, you've got it. You can run with it. Take it for free. I'll take a 99% away.
We'll never forget you, Brent. To be fair, the Pittsburgh Steelers' appearances in Super Bowls, the Green Bay Packers have only had 5, and the Pittsburgh Steelers presently own the greatest number of Lombardi trophies at 6. Packers have how many?
Packers have 13.
That's the NFL championships, yes. They only have 4 Lombardi trophies, and Steelers have 6, so... I'm just saying, what could they have used to 13, bra. Gotcha. In the best of the rest, I thought this was interesting. Most entertaining players of all time.
Oh, God.
Number 2 is Brett Favre, the second most entertaining NFL player of all time. Number 1 was Joe Namath.
So is this the point where I can go up on a soapbox for 30 seconds? Is this the moment? So if by entertaining you mean like, a one-win, really big game guy who really had a very average career after that. I'm just saying, you know. Maybe if Brett would have modeled the nylons the way that Joe Namath did, he would have been number one. And the Friday thing he probably did, but we just don't want to know about it.
All right, and the last one I'm going to do before we get into our Hot Pockets, best plays of all time. They don't list the other ones, but number 6, Aaron Rodgers, walk-off Hail Mary versus the Lions, 2015. Number 6, best play of all time. Number 3 of all time, and certainly my favorite, Antonio Freeman's game-winning overtime catch on his back against the Vikings, the improbable bobble. Number 3.
He did what?
Yep.
I'll love take that. It.
All right. All right, guys, you ready for our Hot Pockets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hot Pockets. Herb sauce.
Cheesy drizzle.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie, start us out.
Okay. So for my Hot Pocket this week, I just wanted to touch on the My Cause, My State campaign that the NFL ran last weekend. I think one of the few things I bet almost everyone agrees on, you could probably get the most consensus with this statement, is that the NFL doesn't tend to do things correctly. It doesn't handle the anthem issue correctly. It doesn't handle domestic violence correctly. It doesn't handle suspensions and brain injuries correctly. It does a lot of things poorly. But My Cause, My Cleats, minus the fact that people had to get their paperwork in by a certain time, you know, so they could get the exemptions for the uniform rules. Minus that part, My Cause, My Cleats was one of probably the only thing that the NFL has done that I have said, that was a really good idea. It was refreshing. It was special. It was eye-opening to see all of the things that all of the different players across the NFL care about, why they care about, learn about their families or their own personal foundations, things they care about. It was great to see that expressed artistically. It was great to see how many people embraced it. And I think it was a great way to shine some light on some charities that might not get that much attention, but also to put the power in the hands of the players and not be, you know, Roger Goodell saying this is what we're going to care about today. So I really enjoyed it. I spent a lot of time going through that hashtag, making sure I took the time to listen and see why everyone was wearing the cleats that they were. It was great to see some variety on the shoes of everyone out there, and it was really nice to see. So my cause, my cleats is my
Hot Pocket.
Yeah. All right, my Hot Pocket this week. I know John says we're not supposed to talk about the future that much, but I think you kind of have to. And I think it was very interesting this week that we are programmed. I mean, you go to the Packer Pro Shop and we see the numbers that are for sale on the jerseys. Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Clay Matthews. And those are the guys we're supposed to like. These are the guys we're marketed that we're supposed to like. These are the guys you walk around to go to the game and you're going to see basically those numbers on every, you know, probably 50% of everyone's back. And yet none of those guys really have had good seasons this year. I mean, obviously Rodgers, due to injury, was having a very good season, but Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Clay Matthews. What we're seeing, though, is we're seeing some excitement. Excitement for guys like Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Devontae Adams, Blake Martinez, Dean Lowry. We're getting excited over these guys who weren't supposed to be the named players this year. But you have a down season, and you have those veteran players have down seasons, and all of a sudden you're getting excited about young players. And I think that is a positive we can take out of this 2000, even if we end up not making the playoffs. We've got two good running backs, exciting running backs. We've got Blake Martinez, who's establishing himself as a very possible future, maybe even this year, Pro Bowl candidate at linebacker, when Clay Matthews is probably not even going to be close. And neither is Jordy, neither is Randall. But Devontae Adams might. So, you know, my Hot Pocket is really talking a little bit about how the more things change, the more they stay the same. And even though we're disappointed sometimes with our veteran players, there's always next man up. You know, there was a time we cheered for Brett Favre and Amon Green, and then we cheered for Ryan Grant, and now we're cheering for Aaron Jones. It just happens. So it's kind of nice that we're able to find some of these young faces to cheer for, and that is my
Hot Pocket.
All right. John, do you want to do a Hot Pocket, or you just want to get right into it?
You took everything I was going to say, so I guess I'll just get right into it.
All right, let's hit it.
Rants with Rahor.
It's been so long, I don't even know where to begin. Mr. Hundley, I don't even know what to say about a guy that's been in the system for 3 years and is playing like he's been in the system for about 3 months. I understand that you might be the world's greatest player in August. My God, you are atrocious in the regular season. You might be limited by the play calling done by our expertise of Mr. McCarthy, but my God, man, please. Okay, one thing in particular. If you're going to get sacked, don't run backwards. Just fall to your knees. Number two, if you cannot complete a pass, don't even throw it. Just take the sack. Number three, you are playing like a fifth-round draft pick who has never played before in his life. Were we really was the wool pulled over our eyes for the last 3 years about this guy, or is he really just playing like he is? It makes me so sad to watch a guy that everyone's like, yay, Brett, has turned into like, oh, Brett. And, I mean, it's like whenever he throws a bad pass, it just goes womp, womp every single time. What I'm asking for 1 week, to please play within your limits of a kind of NFL quarterback, please let us leave Cleveland with the win. And then you can return to your seat on the bench and you can warm the bench for the next, oh, I don't know, at least 1 year, because I don't think we're going to get that crazy draft pick like everybody wanted with you when we tried to trade you, because nobody's going to want you now. And we welcome Aaron Rodgers back, and hopefully we can salvage our season. But I think at the end of the day, I think we can all say that Brett Hundley is not what we thought he was, whether it's a combination of coaching, play calling, just skill set, whatever the case is. He has been a disappointment in so many ways that if I had been doing this show on a regular basis for the last 3 years, I mean, I saw him for a couple years, but my God, the anger that would be inside me right now vented towards this young man, who I know is playing his best, we hope, would be incredible. Brett, please play just good enough so we can walk out of Cleveland with a win and maybe go to the playoffs. Can you do that for me? Please? I'm a pretty good fan. I watch the games. I please don't suck this week. Please. I'm begging you.
Hot Pockets.
I just let that wash over me. Just
a
rant.
That's just awesome.
Oh, wait.
One final thing.
Go ahead.
In case I'm not back on the season, Dom, it's been a slice. Time to retire.
All right. Let's get into this.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
Well, your 6-6 Green Bay Packers are looking to go on a 4-game winning streak, going to run the table. Last 5 games, 5 wins, they're going to do it. But it all starts right now with playing those Cleveland Browns on the road. Let's take it around the horn. Jersey John, go ahead.
Since, in case you haven't picked up on the fact that I absolutely refuse to believe that Brett Hundley can lead the Packers to a 30-point game, I'm going to go as close as possible without going over. I'm going to say they're going to win fairly easily. Packers 29, Browns 21. And then hopefully the Brett Hundley era can come to an end and QB1 can return to save the season, maybe.
All right. Jamie.
Okay. While I am absolutely 100% terrified that with the Packers' luck, they will be the one team that the Browns beat, I have to believe that the amazing QB battle between Kaiser and Hundley that I'm sure will take place on Sunday, that the Packers will prevail. And if they don't, like I told my new daycare provider, I won't be getting out of bed on Monday. I have the Packers 24, Browns 13.
All right, so 2 picks for the Packers. Let's see how it goes here with me. I am going to be the anti-Ray whore.
What?
I'm going to be the anti-Ray whore. I think this is the game where Brett Hundley comes together. I think that they are going to play him like Brett Hundley should be played. I think he's going to gain some confidence. He's going to start hitting those short passes. He's going to know this is his last game. So when he's sitting there trying to decide, am I going to run for this first down or am I going to try to, he's going to run it. I think Brett Hundley has 100 yards rushing. I think he's just going to go hog wild. I think the Packers roll. I'm going to say Packers 35-15, and if Brett Hundley has a terrible game, John, you have my permission to troll me all day on Twitter.
Okay.
You sounded really, really excited about that. That makes me nervous. All right. You guys ready to blow this popsicle stand?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. And, John, it was great to have you back tonight. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like the Packers Talk page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all the Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review, a nice one if you can. You can also listen by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcasting app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them online at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go! We'll see you guys when we got a winning record again.
I hope that's not next season.
7-6.
Let's do it. Thanks for joining us tonight, guys. Good night, and hey, go Pack Go!
Good night, go Pack Go! Play with a champ, Brett.
You've reached the Holiday Helpline. We turn the holidays into holidays.
Hi, I want to surprise my wife and kids with some super stylish gifts.
Surprise! With all the velvet and sparkly styles you'll find at Old Navy, it's your time to shine.
Old Navy?
Yep, the entire store is up to 60% off right now.
Up to 60% off?
And women's dresses start at just $15, 12 for girls, with tops from $6 for adults, 5 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
No surprise here. I'm going to Old Navy.
Turn your holiday into a holiday. Get to Old Navy today.
Valid 12/6 to 12/12. Excludes in-store clearance, gift cards, register lane, items today only, and 2-day only deals.